Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to class. This is Bio 231, and it's Monday, June 15th. Hopefully, I'll remember to announce what the date is every time so that you can hear it on the recording. And we're going to go over some details about how the class is run, and we'll get started with lecture today. And then afterwards, there is lab. All right, so lecture starts Monday through Thursday at 8:15 in this room. And then the lab, right, is in 335, the third floor. It's next to the greenhouse up on the third floor. Just walk down to the end of the building, and it goes every day, or Monday through Thursday, 10 to 11:20. All right, so that's the lab part. So lectures and labs every day during the week. And then, since this is partly an online class, we call hybrid, there is online instruction and testing online. And deadlines will be every Friday. And I switched that from the syllabus that I sent out to you the first time. I said Thursday, but I put it off one more day, Friday, and that's even during the last week of school. I think our last day is a Wednesday, but the deadline for submitting any online work will be the Friday after that Wednesday. So it's just strange. Summer semester is strange, and all that is just strange. Okay, so Friday. So probably everybody should just say, when is the deadline for online work? What day? Friday. Yeah, because I sent some wrong information out to you, and I don't want you to get it wrong, because you can take these quizzes an unlimited number of times before the deadline, which is handy, so you get to practice, but zero times after the deadline. All right, so if your internet connection fails right before the deadline and you didn't do the assignment, then you're kind of out those course points. And you can get a couple of bad grades in here and still end up with a good grade, but you can't if you get zeros, right? Zeros just don't ever average out to a decent grade. So don't ever not submit an online assignment or something like that, because it's hard to recover from that, right? I'll talk about that a little bit. So the deadline is going to be every Friday at 11 p.m. All right, so this is me, Dr. Gober. Here's my email address. That's a good way to reach me, mostly. Here is the telephone on my desk right here, 48709. I probably won't even be at my desk this summer, but you can call me there and I'll pick up your answer in the fall or something like that. So go ahead, email me, right? And of course, if you're studying at 3 o'clock in the morning and have a question, that's a good time to email me before you forget what your question is, right? And then chances are I won't read it right away, but in the morning I will. Sometimes I'm in my office. 265 is my office, second floor. That's really easy to remember, because how many days in the year are there? 365, right? So my office is like the number of days in a year, except on the second floor, right? Not on the third floor. All right, these emergency telephone numbers, of course, you should have programmed into your cell phone. All right, and then we have some required materials. Here's the textbook, and there's a list right here that came with this package, and the textbook comes with a lab manual, a nice atlas, comes with a password to do some online work with what this publisher calls mastering, and I'll get that going for you in a little bit. So this is required. This is the required text. And you might be asking, well, gee whiz, anatomy doesn't really change from semester to semester, person to person very much. There's actually quite a bit of individual variation, but not in the sense that we're going to be looking at. So why can't you use another textbook if it contains the same information, even if it was published 10 years ago? Probably contains the same information, but I give you study guides in here. And the study guides are very particular. I tell you the page numbers, the question numbers, the figure numbers, what to study, how to prepare for a lecture exam. And that study guide only corresponds to this textbook. All right, so that's why you really should have this textbook. There's a copy in the reserve section of the library in case you want to leave yours at home. But the one you get at the bookstore is loose leaf, so you can take out whatever chapters you want to work on during that day and leave the rest of the bulky material at home. All right, so that's why I require this book, just to make sure somebody doesn't go off track before the first test. All right, so just use those study guides. I think you can read through most of this other stuff, like you need a pencil and an eraser, all that. Grading scale, I think we can go down to grading scale. Okay, or how do you get a grade in here? Okay, well, this is how I measure students' success through the class. Lab quizzes. Since we have lab every day, you won't get a quiz every day, but every couple days. All right, so there's going to be, I think, 10 lab quizzes. There's going to be lab practicums. So a practicum is, I'll have an eyeball that you'll dissect, put it on the table, you come in, you got to tell me the pieces of that eyeball, or the brain, or the skull, or various bones, or liver, kidney, that kind of stuff. All right, and there's no word bank for that. You have to come up with the right terminology in your own mind. So the answer sheet you get just has blank lines on it. The lecture tests all will have word banks on there for matching and multiple choice, even labeling figures, things like that. Right? But the practicum is a little bit different. Okay, so lab quizzes, about 10% of the grade. Practicums, 15%. Online weekly quizzes, about 6%. What's the deadline for an online weekly quiz? Friday at 11 p.m., exactly, okay. And then lecture exams, right? We're going to have 4 lecture exams. Means they're going to be 200 points each, just so that I get the right percentage of lecture to lab in your grade. That's about 61%, okay? So 25% of the grade should come from lab, 75% from lecture. And so I guess I'm counting these online quizzes here as part of the lecture grade, all right? So it breaks down pretty nice just like that. And then it's just a straight 90, 80, 70, 60 grading scale. The computer spits out that number to me, spits out your grade, so you got to hit these landmarks right here. There's really not much of a decision I can make. Okay, I thought of something, but I forgot. Okay, deadline every Friday. Oh, this is what I was thinking. Good. Since this summer semester is twice the speed of a regular semester, you have to complete 2 learning modules every week and not just 1. So the organization in Blackboard is a little strange because I didn't really tailor it completely to the summer, but I did change all the dates and deadlines so it makes sense. All right, so I got to show you that in a little bit. A lot of good information here, okay, like attendance policy, all that kind of stuff, some good websites. And I think the schedule is coming up next. Ah, here it is right here. All right, so here's the tentative accelerated lecture schedule. June 15th, that's today. We're going to go over orientation. That is chapter 1. And here are the pages that I would like for you to read, 1 through 13. All right, and you don't have to pay attention to anything, like if it's on page 14 or 15 or 16, or if this chapter goes to page 50, you only have to be responsible 1 through 13. So this information is in Blackboard, which is your virtual classroom, and it should correspond exactly, right? So if you want to focus your studying to make sure you get a good grade on the lecture exam, these are the page numbers, right? And then tomorrow we're going to get into cells. The rest of the week we'll talk about some tissues. You see the chapter and the page numbers. All right, when is your first lecture exam? June 24th, right, which is next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next week. Is that right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday. All right, so next week, Wednesday, that's the first test, and then the next tests are going to come with that kind of frequency, right? And there are 4 of them, right? And then for the exams, you see 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. Those are the chapter numbers on the first exam. So if you haven't printed out the study guide yet, then probably this afternoon you should do that after class and just kind of get a sense of what the scope of what you have to learn before the test. And even if you have some time to really study this evening, that would be great, right? And so you pretty much just have to study some every day. That's just the way it goes. I'll talk about more of that about that a little bit later. Okay, this P1 here stands for practicums. Those are the big evaluations in lab compared to lab quizzes. Most people get 100% on lab quizzes. A lot of people get A's on these practicums, but it's tough to get 100%. But you can. Students do, right? And when we get into lab, I'll tell you how to prepare for these practicums. All right? And practicums and lecture exams really hardly ever happen on the same day, except for the last day of class. All right? Lab practicum and a lecture exam same day. So you'll probably be a little wiped out after that. Plus, this is a fast semester, too. All right, so that's the schedule, how to read the schedule. I think I got everything in there correct, like the 4th of July holiday, which comes on a Thursday, last day to drop, with and without a W. I think that's all correct. And then here is our lab schedule for the 8 weeks. And let's see, when do we have our first lab quiz? All right, I don't see it today. Okay, so, and I don't see one tomorrow. Whoa, we'll give you guys a little bit of a break. But I see one on Wednesday. All right, so LQ, that stands for lab quiz number one. And you don't have to have a Scantron for that. I'll give that to you on a piece of paper. And then you just have to label some things or write something down on that piece of paper, and I'll grade it from that. The lecture exams will all be on a Scantron, right? So you need Scantrons for your lecture exams. And then here are the labs that correspond to this particular schedule. All right, any questions so far? Any questions so far? Yeah. So in Blackboard, let me go to Blackboard and let me see if I can understand your question. Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go to Blackboard. Okay. And then we'll take a look at that. Pre-lecture reading assignment?
Yeah,
okay. So the pre-lecture reading assignment is some reading that I recommend. Actually, all my students previously have recommended to me that I tell you that you should review the chapter a little bit before I lecture about it, okay? Because when you ever first hear something, it kind of goes in your mind, but a lot of times it just goes right over your head, right? And by then I'm talking about the next topic. So I decided to give students a little bit of a heads up on some terminology or maybe some concepts that would be really handy to be familiar with so that when I lecture, that will be like the second time that you've heard that information, and then it's a lot easier to incorporate that, integrate that into your knowledge base. Right? So the pre-lecture reading assignments, I do not grade, but I want to get them from you. I want you to turn them in, so make two copies of it, and that's one way that I'll just take attendance and I can review and help you with things. And so every lecture, there is a pre-lecture reading assignment, except for tissues. I think there's only one, even though we're going to spend 2 days on it. All right, so probably you're all wondering, what is this Blackboard thing, right? All right, well, let's go to the internet, and I think I have it right here. All right, and so maybe what I'll do to help people see everything, I'm going to go to that. So a lot of times I'll lecture in dual projection. I'll have some stuff over here, some stuff over there. It relates, and I'll flip back and forth, right, so that you can see. So maybe it's best if you kind of sit right smack in the middle of the room someplace, so as opposed to the edges where you have to really look and maybe not see both screens. But I have it on both screens right at the moment. And where was that internet? I was on the second screen. I have to put it back over here. Okay, so I understand it can be confusing. Let me pull this back over right here, like so. Good. All right, so this is probably the most important thing that you should be able to do today, and that is log into Blackboard. So you need your student ID number. Your student ID number starts with this at symbol or ampersand, like right there. It just so happens that's my student number. So you got to type that in, and then you have a password. And I gave you a welcome letter that shows you where to find your student number, how to change your password if it doesn't work. All right, so then you put your password in there. Not taking it. Okay, your computer has to take it. Okay, finally did. Good. All right, so here is just the introductory page to Blackboard. All right, so hopefully you can get this far and you know that you're officially registered here at Cypress College, and you can look at grades and announcements and stuff, but I think the column you want to be really looking at is this third one, and you see my courses, and then here are a list of all the courses that you're taking, all right, this semester. And you can see I'm taking probably more than you guys are. And here is the course for 231, right, summer 2015. That's the CRN number. Probably a good idea for you to know what that CRN number is. and general human anatomy. So just click into here. Here's the index page for Blackboard, some nice graphics. All right, welcome letter. And then over in the left-hand frame, so here's left-hand frame, here's right. Left-hand frame, you have a lot of choices. You can go to weekly assignments. This is where you get course points. Right? And you can download the lecture slides that I show in class. These are text slides. They're not the pictures that are in your textbook because you have pictures in your textbook already. And sometimes I use PowerPoints. Most of the time I do not. Right? Syllabus, some course information. I forgot what's in course information. Oh, some good anatomy links, some plugins that you might need on your computer. I think I want to point out VLC Media Player. That is a very powerful video plugin, and I have, and DVX is a very powerful plugin. VLC is a little bit more modern, and so maybe I just recommend VLC for you because we have a lot of videos for you to watch and look at again and again and again to prepare for practicums and other kinds of things. And I have never had one of those videos not play with a VLC program. Right, so and that goes for Macintosh. You have to get, I think, Firefox and then VLC into Firefox, and then you can play pretty much any kind of video you want to, even in a Macintosh. Okay, if you use Windows Media Player, sometimes you get the video but not the audio track. Sometimes you get the audio track and not the visual. Well, you can imagine that you would like to have both and playing at the exact same time. Right, VLC will do that for you. You can use Windows Media Player, just update, make sure you get the latest version. I don't even know what the latest version is. If it's 25 or 30 or 31, I'm not sure. But okay, if you try that, just make sure that you update. So that's some things in course information, handy things. Now, this is where I think we had a question. Okay, pre-lecture reading assignments, right? So I just clicked into here, and you will see two folders. And another file. I won't go into this other file. Pre-lecture reading homework assignments. These are the blank pages. And then here are the pre-lecture homework answer keys. And these answer keys, I programmed them not too long ago to open up right after lecture. So they're all programmed with different dates. I'm going to go back one page. Right, pre-lecture homework assignments. And if let's see if I programmed it right. So here, I hope, is a blank one. I don't know, what does it say? Okay, sure. Let's open it with Word. Did it open on the other side? Maybe. Ah, here it is. It did open up on the other side. I'll pull it back over here. All right, so here are some good questions. And if you were able to work with this before lecture, then that will help you out in lecture for today. All right. And you might have a right answer, but maybe it's not exactly what I would think is a complete correct answer, and I probably don't have time to grade everybody's before the test, but that's okay. Okay, don't pay attention to this date. Obviously, it's due before January 16th, okay, because this is summer. If you want to know exactly the way that I'm thinking, right, because I write the tests, is go to the pre-lecture reading homework answer key. When it pops open, right, you can look at it, and it will tell you what, it's on the other window again, sorry. Okay, it will tell you what the answers are, and it's in bold and italics, and then just correlate that with how you thought about it, right? But these are what I consider the complete, most correct answers, right? So you can correct your own work, right? Like, what part of the body does the term axillary refer to? In common language, that is your armpit. Okay, so we're going to learn about some different body regions. What organ system is composed of skin, hair, and nails? Well, you probably heard of a bunch of organ systems like skeletal system, nervous system, things like that. One that you probably haven't heard very much about, but it's your largest organ system, is your integumentary system. Integumentary system is just your skin and all the other accessory structures that make up your skin. Hair, nails, things like that, glands. All right, so that's where you correct your own work. If you have a question, then, of course, question me before class or after class or during lab, something like that. All right, so that's the pre-lecture reading assignments. Question on that at all? So this answer key will pop up maybe around noon, or what does it say right here? Yeah, June 15th at 12 p.m. Okay. You don't see this unless you have an instructor account. Who's got an instructor account? Anybody? No, okay, that's good. Nobody should. All right, but I do have a question for you, and I hope I see a lot of hands. For registered students only, I want to know, for those students that are registered, how many did not get into Blackboard yet, had a problem getting in? Raise your hand if you've had a problem getting into Blackboard. Okay, because like I said, that's what, the most important thing. And if you didn't try, then in lab, you have to try. You got to prove to yourself that you can get into Blackboard, because when is that first deadline? It's Friday, yeah, it's this week, Friday, right? So you can't be horsing around with anything. You got to jump on those things. All right, lecture recordings. This is where I'll put the lecture. It's not in Blackboard. I have a different website where I dump them onto. Mirab 6E, that's the book that you're going to be using. I think I have the first two chapters as a PDF file. That used to be handy when people didn't buy their book until the second or third week, but that can't happen in this class. Exam study guides. Usually when I say this is on the test, everybody pays attention, right? When I say exam study guides, that's exactly as me saying what? This is on the test, all right? So that's where you want to go for exam study guides. I think I have it by chapter. So let's, and I must have loaded it in a funny order. So here's chapter one. You're going to have to go up and down this list to find the proper chapter. And it's a PDF file. What you should do on the video files and PDF files and Microsoft Word files is to take this file and download it to your hard drive. You can get to this file as long as the internet is operating anytime you want to, but if the internet is down or you're out in the middle of the desert someplace and you want to work on the material, if you have that file in your computer, then you're ready to work on it. So how would you download this file to your computer? And this is a PC. Not a Macintosh. You guys with Macintoshes have special little mice running around. Okay. Well, I would. Usually when you click, you left click. Right? When you click. If you want to download something, you need a different menu to pop up, so right click. So put the cursor on what you want to do. Right click. I see another window popping up. In Firefox, it's save link as or copy file as, depending on what browser you're using. Save link as. All right, so that's pretty nice name for the title. Where should we dump it? Just for fun, how about right on the desktop? Okay, that's only about 2 megabytes. That's not a very big file. Video files and audio files can be 15 megabytes. Video files, 20, 30, 40 megabytes, right? So that's why a high-speed internet connection is required for the class. Cypress College usually has a really fast internet, even if you're doing just Wi-Fi. So where did it go? Do you see it? Is it here? Okay, here's my cursor. Where do I go? Ah, here. That's it? Sweet. All right, so it's probably going to... Oh, good. I have the other window open. Anyway, but here it is. All right, so introduction, chapter 1. What pages should you be reading? 1 through 13, that's exactly what we had in the schedule, which is nice. Check your understanding. These are questions that occur throughout the chapter as you're reading. I don't like all of them, but I like some of them a lot. And you should be able to answer these questions before you move on to the next section in the textbook. Right? So if you read chapter 1 and you try to answer question 1 and it makes no sense whatsoever, right, then it won't help you to go to section 2 if you don't have this knowledge, right? So section 2 builds on section number 1. So you might even want to print these answers out. All right. What did I say? Careful, some answer keys are missed. No. Oh, check your understanding. I don't know what that's all about. I have no idea. In chapter 1, here are some exam figures. I might photocopy, erase the labels, put on the lecture test, and then with a word bank, I'll have you match. All right, so this is just a nice visual thing that you should get 100% on. Most people can do very well with visual information. If that's not your strong point, then you have to just study a little bit more on that. But this is handy because if these figures are on the test and you know how to label them, and I ask a multiple choice question, which might be a little bit more complicated, and if it's dealing with this figure, then what do you have? You have an answer key to that multiple choice question right on the test, right? So make sure that you can answer, you can label these figures, and that not only will help you with these figures and knowing the relationship between different structures in the body, but it might even help you answer multiple choice, true, false, or other kinds of questions on the test. At the end of every chapter, there are review questions. These are the ones that I like for chapter number one, right? And what about question number 11? Would I put question number 11 or a question very similar to number 11 for chapter 1 on your test? And you should say, no, you don't have to pay attention to that because it's not on this list right here, right? So I want you to like focus like a laser on this study guide. Short answer essay questions, oh, these are tough, right? But there's a couple. All right, so that's for the lecture exam. All right, so here are the exam figures. Wherever you see a question mark, that's something that you should be able to label. So here are some practicing. In Blackboard, and we're sort of in Blackboard, I have electronic exercises, drag and drop, and other kinds of exercises, right? So this is really old school, but I think that could be helpful. All the interactive exercises in Blackboard will be in color, right? But what about your lecture exams? Will I put a figure in color on your lecture exam? I will not. It will just be grayscale, just like what you see here. So don't memorize a structure by its color, because that's just artificial, right? You should really know where these structures are by the relationship to other structures in the body, not by their color, because that's artificial, right? All right, so that leads me to one other point. This is pretty much how I see the world anyway. And so you might want to decide if you want to take this class or not. I'm colorblind. All right, and so if you ask me, well, what about this purple thing here? I won't have any idea what you're talking about. And I think it's good practice for you, because then you have to describe what it is you're trying to get my attention to, right? You describe, how do you get there from here, right? It's not just with a color. So if I ever tell you a color, chances are it's wrong. So just be aware of that, okay? Okay, so point to something or tell me the relationship. So these are the, what, exam figures. Here are some imaging body planes. Here are some body cavities. Anybody ever see this figure before? I hope so. So I sent a bunch of emails out to people that are officially registered in the class. By the end of lab today, I want you to be able to draw this out for extra credit. Draw and label on a blank piece of paper. It doesn't have to be pretty. What about color? Do you have to do it in color? No, obviously not, right, because I couldn't grade that anyway. All right, and you could even use just block diagrams if you want for these structures. It doesn't have to be pretty, but drawing, you will find, is a very nice way for you to learn anatomy and practice and work with the concepts. All right, drawing is really good. Oh, you know what else is really good? And I think this is why teachers sometimes really know and understand material, is that you should talk anatomy to somebody with your lab partners or study groups outside, or even if you're studying at home, right? Sit down with your grandma, grandpa, kids, or whatever, and talk anatomy. Even if they don't know what you're talking about, kind of pretend that they do, right? Because every time you verbalize something, you use so much more of your mind and your brain, it just integrates the information up a lot better, right? Especially for people that are auditory learners, right? So, and we're all different components of learning, and we all have some components. All right, so some more body cavities right here. All right, so you get the gist of the study guide for lectures. All right, so start working on these things right away, and you'll be in good shape. And don't forget, download this to your hard drive someplace so that you have it. What did I do? Okay, good. Okay, any questions so far about what I was talking about? The only thing I really didn't show you guys were weekly assignments. So let's go into weekly assignments. Oh, lecture slides, those are the slides that I show in class. You can print those out if you want to ahead of time. And that way you don't have to write down everything I say. Syllabus quiz, all right, that's going to go away this Friday. That's worth a couple points. All right, so here we're online. Usually you'll just see a page at a time. Here's a page down over here, and you'll have to flip from one to the other. All right, and do you see anything of value on the computer screen right now? Do you see anything that kind of reminds you of something that has value? Okay, I do. Somebody take a stab, take a guess. You see anything that even metaphorically has value? Yeah, the dollar sign. Okay, so here is a dollar sign. It's an icon, and I put this icon only, all right, in association with things that you have to do for course points. All right, so if you're on a web page and you can't, and there might be 100 things on that web page, some resources for you, all right, and you're wondering whether or not you should really pay attention to it because it's worth course points, how would you know? Oh yeah, this dollar sign is going to just pop right out at you. That's something that you have to do by the deadline, right? And so week number one, here are the two weekly assignments that you have to do this week, chapter one, chapter two, and then chapter four, just part of chapter four. All right, and then next week, chapter 2A and 2B, or weekly assignments A and B. So they always go in pairs, which is a little bit different. All right, and June 19th, what day of the week do you think June 19th is? All right, so this works from the 15th to the 19th. What day of the week do you think that is? That's a Friday. Okay, let's go down over here. Here is week 5A, 5B, July 17th. What day of the week do you think that is? That's a Friday. That's right. If I programmed it right, it's a Friday, right? Because that's always going to be your deadline, right? Okay. All right, so for week 5B, how many assignments do you have to do for course points? How many dollar signs do you see? One, right? So right away, you just know there's definitely something that you have to do, right? But there's a lot of other good information here. Okay, here are interactive exercises for you to do. Do you see a dollar sign? You do not get course points directly into your grade book when you do these. But, right, these correspond very nicely to exam figures in the study guide, and this is a really nice way that you can whip through these figures very fast and learn how to label them. All right, here, essential study partner. What about Get Body Smart? Do you get any course points for that? No, but additional online learning resources. All right, practice quizzes. Ah, do you get points for doing these? You do not directly, but I really love these questions. All right, and a lot of times I'll take a question from this list right here and put it on the exam. So I would like for you to work through all of these questions, all right, but not only the questions that I have listed here, not everything that are in this particular test bank. All right, so this will take you online to a test bank, and you should answer these questions. And the nice thing about this is that you can submit it, and it's going to be graded, and then you get feedback right away. So you're going to have a lot of feedback before you take the lecture exam, so you'll have a sense of did you prepare enough for the lecture exam or not. All right, so this is going to be graded automatically for you. All right, what about the Chapter 13 Central Nervous System quiz number 10? Do you have to do this one? If you want course points, yes, because there's a dollar sign for it. So this is what you have to do. So where do these questions come from? End of chapter, review questions right here. I don't have many visual questions. Most of these are multiple choice, true, false, things like that. And these, how many times can you take this? This quiz, the chapter quiz number 10, chapter 13, Central Nervous System quiz. How many times can you take this quiz? Millions of times if you want to, right? Unlimited number of times, but what? Until the deadline, right? And then zero times after the deadline. Please don't forget that. All right, so that's kind of just a tour of some weekly assignments. And for this week, don't forget, what do we got? We got two of them to do. Okay, there's various ways you can navigate in Blackboard, and you'll just have to be familiar. I like to keep all the stuff in the left-hand frame over here. You might too, or you can collapse it. Okay, you can collapse it and then pull it out whenever you want it. Right, so chapter 1, chapter 2, and a part of chapter 4 for this week. Okay, so there's two quizzes this week. Every week there's going to be at least two quizzes. Okay, any questions yet? Questions? All right, so a hybrid class, you see, maybe seems like a lot of work, but everything's laid out for you very nicely, right? You just have to be able to manage your time, your schedule. That's a really important technique. And You know, if you come to me and say, oh, you know, I forgot to do week 1B quiz, and I just forgot to do it, can you open that up for me? Well, that tells me that your time management skills need some practice, need some work, right? And if that's a repetitive thing for you and you ask a recommendation for me, that's probably something that I have to put on the recommendation form, right? So it's pretty serious. Right, so work with your schedule, get your time management skills going, and we can work together on that. I've given you a really important tool called the weekly study plan, and you should fill that out. And I don't know if I have time right now to talk about it. Maybe I'll talk about it in lab. All right, so don't miss any of these things. There's something else I forgot I wanted to mention. Okay. All right, so make sure you can mouse around, know your way around. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to get to that. One last other thing, I think it was course information. I did send out to you the weekly study plan. All right, so here's the weekly study plan. Got a couple tables. All right, so I got Sunday through Saturday, and then I've just kind of broken it down morning, afternoon, evening, and night. I want you to sit down before this week starts and write in where you will have time to study, right? And it doesn't mean you have to study during those times, but at least get a plan going, right? And then, and in parentheses right here are just some numbers I put down, like maybe I would study during these times, and like this would be a 1 hour here, 1 hour there. And for this particular class, I don't know if I didn't update this one, right? 3 hours a week for every hour of lecture, and I have 12 hours right here, but that's for a standard semester. This is twice as fast. What should this 12 be? What should this number right here really be? 24 hours every week. Okay, that's a lot of time. And that's to pass the class. If you have some experience with this class, if you study 12 hours, right, then you get a really good grade, like an A. If you're completely unfamiliar with this material and you study 24 hours, you might just get a C. All right, just to kind of give you a gauge. This number I just got off the internet, it's a well-published number. All right, so then, right, during the week when you study, go ahead, give yourself credit. And then add up the total hours right here. And so the week total you want to put right here, guess what that number should be right here? 24, right? And then here you can see your daily totals. Then you can analyze and say, wow, I'm not coming up to 24. I got to find some other time in here. All right, so here is, you want to hear something brutal right now? You ready for something brutal? Okay. If you can't find 24 hours in here to study every week, guess what? You should drop the class. Okay. There's no sense taking the class because you're just going to beat yourself up and get bad grades. And then you're going to say, oh, geez, I got bad grades. Maybe anatomy isn't my thing. But guess what? You didn't give yourself a fair shot at it, right? So 24 hours, right? Try to find that. And I want to work with people on that, right? And just see how, as a group, how you do, okay? So if you don't have 24 hours a week, don't bother taking the class. And that's pretty much, like if you were going to take a physiology class this summer or micro class or any other kind of class, that's for any college level class, if it's really a college level class, okay? Okay, during the regular semester, it's only 12 hours a week for every hour, okay? All right, so work with this right here. Was that pretty brutal? Maybe a little bit brutal, but right now is a good time to become aware of that, not when the semester is over. Right, because then you can do really well next semester, but I'd rather have you do really well this semester. Okay. Who's got a question? Anybody got a question? No? How about if we just start with chapter one a little bit? Okay. I would say, do we need to take a break? But probably not. We probably can't do that. When is class over? Who can tell me, when is class over? 9:30? Okay, I better just write that down. So we've got 9:07. We got a little time to talk about some stuff. All right, so what do I want to do? I want to go into Blackboard and get that the lecture slides, but I think I have that already downloaded. All right, so here are, I got to do this. All right, so that answer key I can put away. So usually I put the word slides over here, and you have a copy of this, or you can have a copy of this if you want. And if you want to make a hard copy and take notes in class, that's fine. If you only want to have an electronic copy in your tablet or whatever and make notes, your laptop while I'm talking, that's fine with me too. You can use your computer, but make sure that you only do anatomy on your computer in class. Otherwise, you'll lose your privilege to use a computer in class, right? So no kind of texting or doing what other people do on the internet. All right, and then over here, I usually put the slide that I'm talking about. All right, so I'll kind of maybe open that up a little bit. So these are the figures that have in your book. Okay, the first two concepts, we don't have a figure in your textbook, all right, but it's just some definitions for some scientific disciplines, anatomy and physiology. And you'll review this when you get into physiology as well. So you should know, be able to define these things, but then have a little appreciation for what that means. All right, so anatomy is the scientific study of structure in the body. All right, so we're going to, and that's primarily what we do in this class, right? You're going to see a hand. Oh, I got a hand on the other side. I have some bilateral symmetry, and I got a thumb on one hand. I got a thumb on the other, and way on the other side of my hand, I got a little finger. All right, so that is just the structure of something. And that's just, a lot of times, is just memorization. But if you understand the relationship between structures, that's even better. It'll be easier to recall. All right. Physiology is the scientific study of function, of how living things function. All right. So we can think about that hand once again. And that hand isn't just static, isn't just standing right there. It can move. Right, so moving is more like a physiology kind of principle, and you're going to have to learn something about muscles in a physiology class, the different components that make up a muscle, why does it contract, how is it controlled, all of that kind of stuff. Right, so that is function. So if you know anatomy and you know function, then you know a lot about your body, how it works and how it misbehaves. How do you get it back working after it acquires some kind of disease process, right? So you got to know both of these. Right, but there's one place to start, and there's another place that's not a very good place to start. All right, so what should you understand first, anatomy or physiology? Yeah, anatomy is a very good thing to understand first, right? Because if I start talking about a thumb and a finger and a hand, and you have no idea what that is, and I start talking about how it functions, then right, that information will just go right over your head. So we understand anatomy first. We understand the structures that make things up, okay, and then from there you can understand something about physiology. Here's something else that's pretty important. Right? If we change the anatomy of something, what about the physiology? Here's my hand, once again. Oh, how many fingers do I have? On my right hand I got five, my left hand I got, and you're asking, well, why is that such a big deal? Because I grew up in a machine shop. Right, and I have all my fingers. I'm really proud that I still have all my fingers. Okay, so what happens if I made a mistake and I lost my thumb? What would happen to the structure of my hand? Did it change? Structure of my hand? Change? What about the function of my hand? It changed, right? So now the function changes because now I can't grab a pencil to write. Right? I can maybe grab things with my other fingers, but it's not the same kind of thing because I've lost that opposable thumb. So if you ever change the structure of something, you change the function of something, right? And that's really important because if some function in your body changes, the reverse thing is true as well. If there's a function that changes in your body, what can you tell me about your anatomy? Something about your anatomy changed, right? It could be a gross structure like a thumb. It could be a structure of a protein, right? Or a structure of an organelle inside the cell. Right, so then we want to figure out what's a way we can repair that anatomy or compensate for it. Right, so we want to know anatomy first, in order to understand physiology. If we change anatomy, we change the physiology. Or if you notice a change in physiology, that means that there is somewhere a change in the anatomy, some structural component in your body that has changed. Okay, so that's anatomy and physiology. Some branches of anatomy. That's kind of funny, talking about a tree branch because that's structure, but we didn't mean it that way. Okay, these are just some sub-disciplines of anatomy. Gross anatomy. Who can take a stab at what gross anatomy means? What kind of anatomy is gross anatomy? Anybody know what gross anatomy means? Gross means, what does gross mean? Gross could be like a really big number, or gross could mean like disgusting, right? So in this particular case, it doesn't mean disgusting anatomy. And actually, those parts of anatomy are the most fun. We'll get into some of those things, like your digestive system, right? But gross just means big. Parts of your body that you can see with your naked eye, you don't need special instruments, that's gross anatomy, right? So thumb, gross anatomy. Eyeball, gross anatomy. Organelle, not gross anatomy. It has structure, right? But that is what we call microscopic anatomy. And you need a microscope to appreciate that kind of anatomy. And that's where we're going to start in lab today. We're going to learn something about microscopes. Developmental anatomy is the study of a person's body. And this is all we're going to be looking at, human anatomy mostly, is how a body changes from birth until death. And you know what? We grow all the time, even when we're 85, 90 years old. Anybody have a grandma, grandpa, 80, 90 years old? What can you tell me about their nose and ears? They're big. They don't stop growing. Okay, that's just the way it goes. Okay, so this is over a lifetime, how your anatomy changes. Embryology is a different kind of anatomy. This is how a person's body changes before they're born. We call that in utero. Right? So we all were just a single cell at one time. Not a very exciting stage of life to be, because you can't come to anatomy class or anything like that. So, right, that structure changes, right? A whole bunch of things develop before you're born that changes the function of that group of cells. Right, so that is another branch of anatomy. Here is something that we'll look at a little bit. We call this surface anatomy. Right, that's what we just see on the surface of your body. And maybe I could think of a good example. I can feel my sternum right here. That's my breastbone. I can feel some ribs. Right, and if I can feel that rib, I know where my heart is. Right, so surface anatomy is really handy because it gives you landmarks to understand structures that are deep inside the body. So surface anatomy is pretty important. We'll look at some of those things. Another kind of anatomy I think that's mentioned in your book is cross-sectional anatomy. Let me pull up a slide over here. Cross-sectional anatomy. Right, so here's a cross-section of somebody's body in really fancy color. Here is somebody's back, here's somebody's spinal cord, right here, vertebral column, stomach muscles right over here. Right, this is a pretty difficult way to understand anatomy, right? And we don't spend a lot of time with this kind of understanding, but for instance, it is important because what happens if somebody gets shot right through here? It's important to know what organs are going to be involved with that kind of wound. Right, but that's really difficult to have this kind of image in your mind. You'll begin to put some of this together, right? But this is cross-sectional anatomy, pretty high level. You're going to start on your way to understanding cross-sectional anatomy, right? But the way that we study anatomy in this class, okay, is by organ system, right? So we're going to learn something about bones, vertebral column. Right, and then we're going to learn something about nerves, like the spinal cord right here. Then we're going to learn something about the digestive system. Right, and then by the time the class is over, we've studied all of these different organ systems, and then we can kind of put them together, right, and we'll know how they potentially can function together, what they look like, and it will begin to give you an idea of some cross-sectional anatomy. I can see some bones over here, some more muscle. All right, so that's another kind of anatomy. Any questions on different levels, different kinds of anatomy? Okay. A good way to get an orientation for anatomy, right, is Let me make this a little bit bigger. All right, so here I have a body, right? Pretty complicated. It's got all a whole bunch of things going on. It's really hard to understand what's happening right here, okay? Or if something goes bad, how to fix something that's going bad. So this is a complicated kind of object, right? This individual, this human individual. So if you have something that's really complicated, anything in your life, what is a good way that you can understand how it functions or how it misbehaves? It is to break it down into smaller pieces, right? If your finances, right? If you want to understand something about your finances, right? What should you do? How much I pay for gas, right? How much I pay for rent, that kind of thing. Break it down into different categories, analyze it, add all those numbers back up, and then you have a pretty good idea of what's happening, right, in your financial life. Same thing for anatomy. We're going to break this anatomy down into some very simple structures, and then by the time the class is over, you can integrate all that information up, and then this body will make a whole lot more sense. And a good place to start is with small things. And so here are the seven levels of structural and functional organization. We could consider these building blocks of a human body, and we're going to start with a chemical. All right, can you see a chemical with your naked eye? You cannot, not even with a microscope, right? Not even with really fancy microscopes except for maybe a handful of kind of chemicals. All right, so these things are really small. So we're going to start with the small and build things up from there. Here I see a CA with a plus 2. I see an NA with a plus, a K with a plus. These are chemicals. And in physiology, you got to be really familiar with these things. I'm just going to mention them to you. These are ions. CA stands for calcium. NA stands for sodium. All right, so sometimes the word doesn't correspond with the letter because these are in Greek. Natrium is sodium. Kalium is potassium. All right, the other thing that I want to mention to you, do you see this little plus sign? Is that big enough on the screen? See that little plus sign? That means that these things have an electrical charge, right? And so electrical properties of your body are determined by these ions or these electrolytes. And in physiology, you're going to see that we're very electrical beings because of these electrolytes inside of our body. These are what? Very small kinds of chemicals. Some other kind of chemicals that you are familiar with, H2O, what's that? Water, yeah. Okay, and when you break that down, you get these two hydrogens and an oxygen. You don't have to know these chemical symbols for this class. In physiology, you do, but water, everybody should be familiar with. Cholesterol, that is a fat, a lipid. Is cholesterol good or bad for you? It's good and bad, depending, right? Where it is, what concentration. Cholesterol is a precursor to sex hormones, like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. So if you don't have any cholesterol in your body, you can't make those other hormones. Now, I don't know anybody that would really agree to that. Okay, collagen is a chemical that's really strong. It holds your body together. Adenosine triphosphate, this is probably everybody's favorite molecule. Otherwise, sometimes we call it ATP, right? And who knows something about ATP? Ever hear of ATP? What's ATP? Who knows something about ATP or adenosine triphosphate? Somebody must have heard something about it. Can you live without it? You cannot, right? That is the energy source for your life, right? So that is the energy molecule that allows your muscles to contract, for your brain to function, and so that's why it's a very important molecule, ATP. Okay, so here we've got a bunch of chemicals, and of course there's many more that make up your body. If we put all these chemicals together in the right way, then that can form an organelle. So what's the building block of an organelle? Is a chemical or a bunch of chemicals, right? So chemicals are the building blocks of organelles. And here are some organelles, nucleus, Golgi body, endoplasmic reticulum, here's nucleus right here. What else? Centrioles, some organelles inside of a cell. So these are things that are a lot smaller than a cell, but they have a particular function, and they're made up of chemicals. And if we have a bunch of organelles and stick them all together, what can we build? Because these are building blocks for something else. They're a building block for a cell, right? So you got to know all these different subcomponents of a cell, which are organelles. Put them together, you can get a cell, And a cell is the basic unit of all life. If you're wondering if something is alive, if a process is alive, and you look at it with a microscope and you can't detect any cells, guess what? It's not alive. It might have a function, might be able to grow or whatever, but it's not life. Okay, so that I would like to say, I could ask you this question. What is the structural and functional unit of life? Structural and functional unit of life. What is the basic building block of life? And you're exactly right, it is a cell. And if I ask you what's the building block of a cell, you would say organelle. All right, so here's just a way of starting to classify some of the things that we're going to look at. I'll mention a lot of structural and functional units in class, like structural and functional unit of contraction, structural functional units of communication between cells, and you're going to fill all that information in as the semester goes on. All right, now what do we get if we put a bunch of cells together? Do we get you yet? We do not. We get something close to you, but we only get something that's called a tissue. Right, and here are, so you've got a number of different tissues in your body. If you point to some part of your body, I could tell you what tissue it is because it's relatively simple. There are only four. That's really handy. Only four different kinds of tissues. You see them right here. What's the building block of a tissue? It's a cell. So, for instance, an epithelium is a group of cells, and all those cells, so this epithelium is performing one function. So what should be the structure of those cells if this epithelium is performing one function? What should be the shape of these cells? The very similar or the same? Okay, what about the function of these cells that make up a tissue? They're going to be the same. So that's kind of the definition of a tissue. It's a group of cells that have the same structure, the same function. All right, that's what makes a tissue up. All right, but we're interested in a lot more than that. Right, because we want to know something about your heart. A heart is not a tissue. It is an organ. All right, and so how do you make an organ? Well, you got to put a couple of these building blocks together, a couple tissue building blocks in order to make an organ. Like your heart needs muscle. Right, it needs nerves, and it needs connective tissue. And it even has epithelium on it. Okay, so if you put these things together in the right way, you can get a heart. An organ has two or more tissues that work together to perform some kind of function. And if it's a muscle tissue part of the heart, guess what the function of that muscle is? It's only one, right, because it's all got to be the same. It is contraction, right? And if it's the nervous part of the heart, it's for controlling the heart, sending information throughout the heart to control the contraction. All right, so tissue is a building block of an organ. If we put organs together, we get an organ system. Right? And so it's a group of organs all performing the same kind of function. And, well, here's a nice graphic that I haven't been using very much. Okay, let me slide down. Oh, no, it's over here. Okay, so here is the skeletal system. I see some bones. All right, so here's a bone in your leg. That's an organ. Here I see your hip bone. That's an organ. I see some vertebrae. Those are organs. And a rib is an organ. So if we put all of these organs together, what do we get? An organ system that we call the skeletal system. Okay, and these organs can be very similar. They can have very dissimilar kinds of functions inside your body. All right, so here are 11 organ systems that make up the body, and this is how we're going to finish up the class, by studying something about the integumentary system, right? And then the cardiovascular system, respiratory system, urinary system. So that is how we are going to approach this class. And what does integumentary system mean once again? Yeah, skin, right? Skin, that's your largest organ system. Okay, so you got some really good pictures in your book that show you these various organ systems, right, like the muscle system, okay, nervous system, endocrine system. Oh, that's probably good I'm talking about this. Endocrine system, okay, I can see a bunch of structures here like thyroid gland, adrenal gland, ovaries, pancreas. These organs right here synthesize a product called a hormone. And that hormone gets into the blood, and once that hormone is in the blood, where does it go? Once it's in your blood. It goes everywhere in your body, right? That hormone goes everywhere in your body, and so that hormone is carrying a signal to change the physiology of a cell someplace in your body, right? And since it's in the blood, it's going to get there if it's a hormone, and then it's going to do something special to that cell to change its physiology. So the endocrine system, right, produces hormones that regulate all kinds of processes in your body, and you'll be studying a lot about the endocrine system for years, right? So that's just a little bit of an introduction, endocrine system. Okay, other kinds of cardiovascular, here's the heart, blood vessels. See some nice colors, lymphatic system. Ah, I see some lungs, I see a trachea right here. What system is this? This is the respiratory system. This is how we get oxygen in our body. Okay, oxygen is really important because it's necessary to make a chemical that we were just talking about, which is ATP, right? Oxygen is necessary. That's how we get it into the body with the respiratory system to make that ATP. All right, so those are just some organ systems that you should know what some of the functions are that goes over in the book. Okay, here are some things that are really nice and easy to talk about, but we're out of time. All right, so maybe I'll talk about some of these things in lab. Make sure you sign the sign-in sheet. And next time, actually that means tomorrow, right, we'll start with some body plan and terminology. So start to do your pre-lecture reading assignment. Go ahead and work into chapter 2, because for sure we're going to get into chapter 2 tomorrow. All right, so we'll finish up 1 and get into 2 after I talk about some of these other things. All right, so if people want to add the class, meet me upstairs right before lab, and that's when I will add students, right, to replace no-shows. And I know who was not here. Okay, but I would still like to see that sign-in sheet. Who's got the sign-in sheet? Is it up in the back? Sign-in sheet, good. Okay, so we still have it, hasn't been lost. So make sure you sign that when it comes down. I'm going to turn off my recorder.